And there's a question here from Marie about chronic illness as a relative state and how that might impact one's ability to generate the deity in the sadhana practice. Something like, when I feel good and whole in my body, I connect easily with the Buddha within. And when I feel sick, there's no Buddha. Not quite that extreme, but hopefully you can understand the intent of this question. I think that's a very deep question, and I think a question that's been asked by many people. I've certainly heard it lots. And when we feel good, physically, mentally feel good, many people find that our sadhana practice or any meditation can flow easier because we're in a good physiological state, and the conditions certainly can appear to be good for practice. However, from the standpoint of the view, from the standpoint of mind's nature, this must be grasped, must be experienced. Is no matter what the sensations in the body, and this is the hard part, because of the outer grasping and the inner grasping to sensations as good or bad, as wrong and right, as healthy and not healthy, and so on, then we consider that if we can't have a good feeling in the body, then we can't have a good feeling in the mind. That is, our minds somehow aren't feeling right and well. But no matter actually what the sensation is in our body, or no matter what the sensation is in our mind, this is the hard part, this is where we really have to meditate and do the retreats and do the practice. We can't get this from a book. We can't even really grasp this by, well, we may be able to with Dharma talks, because it may dawn. But to be able to experience the freedom of the mind, the natural freedom of the mind that actually doesn't attach to anything at all. That's the meditation. That's the mind of the guru. And to be able to speak, even though in pain, even in mental pain, this is the speech of the Adam. And for the body to be radiant, even if it's full of worms and bacteria and virally infected and racked with pain, it's still a holy temple. So you can take a cathedral or a Tibetan temple and you can paint it from the inside, whitewash it or blackwash it, whatever you'd like to do, but the temple's still there. The stained glass is still there. So it is very important that we practice until we come to a surety that no matter what our physiology is doing, the actual basis of our mind hasn't changed. It's still free. So in that sense, in that way, the challenges that we have in life give us great opportunity to not just dwell in calm and the stable mind of tranquility and happiness, but actually cut through to something that transcends that. So that is called vipassana, or penetrative vipassana. So the Buddha within, you have to gain confidence in this, the Buddha within never goes away. It's always there in sentient beings. It's in sentient beings whether they're sick, it's in sentient beings whether they're terrified, it's in sentient beings whether they're happy, it's in sentient beings whether they're fantastic meditators, it's in sentient beings whether they're Buddhas, or sentient beings if they're mass murderers. It's the same mind's nature. So therefore, that really is the perspective of sadhana. That no matter what happens, we generate the sadhana, because no matter what state we're in, it's actually there. It's unfolding. We have to grasp that. So some of us may have noticed that some of our best meditations ever, even in retreat, in meditations in terms of understanding, were actually born out of a lot of pain or suffering. This is I can certainly say that some of the best, from my point of view, some of the best Dharma classes I've ever given on meditation have been when I've been quite sick. Actually, I get very essential when I'm very sick and giving a class. I remember one time coming back from New Zealand after a long retreat of a Mahamudra retreat and being asked to give a class, some classes in Victoria. And I just had a tooth operation, a tooth transplant. My mouth was full of blood while I was teaching. And I was in extreme pain on drugs. And I think that was probably one of the better classes I've ever given. I had to actually take a cloth and patch up the blood coming out of my mouth. This challenges us to deeper and deeper realization, whether we're sick or not. That's not so easy to do, so I'm not saying it's easy, but we need to make sure that we're meditating and we're practicing sadhana and generating bodhicitta and all these things, whether we're sick or not. Just not in the good times, and also don't call upon the Lama only when things get really bad. So in both ways, we practice no matter what. We try as hard as we can to practice all through that. So I will come back to this theme because that's only one way. And that's a very high way. That's a very elevated way of practice. And I'd like to speak about some other things that we can do when we're sick. But this is, of course, the high practice.